The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this time of the afternoon during the month of Ramadan. Every single Thursday we're discussing Wakaf, or Okaf rather, and with me online is Zainul Kaji. He is the Okaf CEO. Assalamu alaikum, Zainul.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, it is bitter coat in the cap. I don't know so much about your side of the world.
Okay. Yes, lekker warm here in the old transfer.
Ah, okay. I think it's going to come there. It's coming there. Zainul, last week we discussed specifically Okaf in general, or Wakaf in general, what it consisted about, how people can get involved, etc. And the reason we're doing this program every Thursday is because The Voice of the Cape, in conjunction with Okaf South Africa, has launched our 21 Masjid Renovation Project. And of course, if you don't know about the project, where have you been? This is the most, I think, the most successful program that we've had so far, by asking people to nominate our 21 Masajid in the underprivileged areas of Cape Town and Boland. They're going to be receiving a 10,000 rand, which has been allocated to them in terms of building of the Masajid. And so far, Zainul, I've been inundated with nominations. I think at least we've got about 20 nominations thus far. Some of them have just been a few motivation lines, like three or four motivational lines. There's one email that I have here that has pictures, that has an essay, it's got the building plans included, the whole works.
Then you'll have to give them a prize as well for the presentation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it's good to know that people are wanting to get involved with the Masajid, and we'll discuss the role of the mosque a bit later on. So maybe today's program, we want to look at the different kinds of Wakafs that are available that people can get involved in. If you didn't know, Okaf South Africa has been around for, is it 15 years, Zainul?
Yes, 15 years since 2001, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, and they've got various Wakaf projects and programs available that you can contribute on a monthly or weekly or daily basis as you see fit. So tell us a little bit more about Wakafs and the different types of Wakafs, Zainul.
Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners out there. The Wakaf system, actually, one can look at like three broad categories of Wakafs. The one would be generally a charitable Wakaf, or Wakaf Khairi as it is called, right? The second type of, and I'll explain what these are actually as we go along.
Okay.
The second one would be a Wakaf Ahli. So the Wakaf Ahli or Wakaf Dhurri is a family Wakaf.
Okay.
So we've got the Wakaf Khairi, we've got the Wakaf Ahli, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have a third type, which is called a Wakaf Mushtarak, which is actually a combination of the two,
okay?
So Wakaf Khairi is generally a charitable Wakaf. That's where the Khair comes from. So that's basically a charitable Wakaf for public benefit. And one of the primary purposes of a Wakaf is that there should be public benefit.
Mm.
And basically, even, as one of the fundamentals of our Sharia, is that whatever we do should be of public benefit, the maslaha, as it is actually called in the Sharia.
Mm.
The second category of Wakaf Ahli, which is something that also needs to be revived in our community, okay, or our communities or whatever.
Mm.
And this is a Wakaf that one actually leaves behind for one's progeny, one's family. So this can be done during one's lifetime or upon one's death. So there are maybe disadvantaged people within the family that could actually be, that could be allocated a certain portion from our estates and our worlds. That could benefit. There could be people that are non-Quranic heirs in our family, aunties or uncles or distant relatives, that could be benefiting, or it could be directly our children and our grandchildren and so forth. So that's the second type. And then the third type, where it's a combination, one could say that, well, I'm making a waqf for my family, but I want 20% or 25% or 10% or 5% to go for public charitable purposes.
Okay.
So that is where you've got the three types of waqfs that one can actually make. Generally, so, for example, the OCAF South Africa would actually be doing both types of waqfs, actually. So we manage both types of waqfs, or three types, actually. The third one becomes a little bit complicated because you need to be quite specific about the percentages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the main one that we're actually focusing on is the waqf khairi, that is the public charitable waqf. And that waqf can be, as I said previously, can be for various purposes.
Mm-hmm.
It could be for masjids, it could be for Islamic centers, for libraries, for schools, for universities, for clinics, for making roads and, you know, canals, waterways. One of the famous waterways that was actually built by Zubaydah, the wife of one of the Khalifs, Harun al-Rashid,
mm-hmm.
Was actually a waterway, a canal that was actually done in Makkah, Mina, Arafat, that area.
Wow.
Which is still in existence today, by the way.
Wow.
And and that was like for public benefit. If you look at the very first well that was actually purchased by one of our great Sahaba, Uthman bin Affan, may Allah be pleased with him. His well is still in existence today, and it was for public benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, now there's because of the sort of longevity and the long-term sustainability of his projects and his waqfs in Medina, now they've established a hotel, Uthman bin Affan. And this has come about from the proceeds of his original waqfs.
Wow.
So you know, look at that, you know, the
it's
long-lasting...
It's definitely a benefit for the community. So Zainul Kaji is the CEO of OCAF South Africa. Let's take an ad break, and when we continue, inshallah, we're going to go a little bit more in-depth in terms of community waqfs, which the Masjid Project falls under, and then also a family waqf, inshallah.
My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, 91.3 FM and 95.8 FM stereo.
It's 33 minutes after the hour of one. Now, we're discussing with Zainul Kaji, who's the CEO of OCAF South Africa. We're discussing the different types of waqfs that can be made. And this, of course, because of our Voice of the Cape OCAF Masjid Renovation Project, which we have launched for this Ramadan and for many Ramadans to come, inshallah, so that we can assist many more masajid. Ameen. Now, Zainul, before the ad break, we were discussing about charitable waqfs, waqf khairi, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes.
Righto. So there are, I believe there's some community waqfs that OCAF has assisted in as well, mainly based up in Gauteng. So if anyone wants to follow your line of thought here, tell us first of all how that community waqfs are organized, who organized them, you know, and can we do the same here in Cape Town as well?
Yes. Okay. First of all, now OCAF South Africa is in itself a community waqf because...
Okay.
There are members of the community from all over the country that contribute towards it. So now it's really truly community-based. But one could then extend it further to go down to specific communities that may be located in a particular town or a village. So for example, let's just take a particular a mosque and work around there. And say Give me an example of a mosque, one of those that have applied for this masjid renovation project.
Okay, it's the Delft community.
Okay, so let's take the Delft community. Now, let's say that this community wishes to establish a wakaf fund. Okay, now, and then we'll talk about how this community fund, what will it actually be doing. So what would happen is that members of the community we'd set up within Okaf South Africa an account for the Delft community or the Delft Masjid community.
Mm-hmm.
And so people would then, the Delft community would be responsible for this. They would actually collect and publicize it among the community members and mobilize these funds, because ultimately these funds will be used for the development of the Delft community.
Okay.
Now, let's say that you have whatever the case may be, there may be a lot of poor people in the area, or there may be some people that may be able to donate. There may be people from outside that particular community that will also donate to it as wakaf. So let's say that they mobilize an amount of 100,000 rand, and this may not be in one go, but it may be over a period of time.
Okay.
So then because it's, and the nature of wakaf is that these funds have to remain permanent capital. It cannot be consumed. So this amount is then invested. Now, because the Delft community may not necessarily have the resources and the expertise and so forth to invest it, OCAF South Africa takes that responsibility to invest that fund.
Okay.
And then it depends on the Delft community to direct it as to how the income is going to be spent. So, for example, they receive on an annual basis 10,000 rands to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this now can be spent on members in the community. It can be spent for the masjid, it could be spent for welfare, it could be spent for scholarships or any other need within the community. There could be elders that need help, there could be emergency repairs or whatever. So there's a continuous sustainable fund that now the community has, and that they can then use it for any particular purpose and need within that community. Now, the idea is that almost every community and every masjid should be or should become self-sufficient.
Mm.
So, and on an ongoing basis, just add to that, like many mosques have collection boxes, but unfortunately the money is then just spent. It's not sort of mobilized into a wakaf fund, which makes it the most sustainable and the most enduring voluntary Islamic charity.
Wow. Okay.
So that's how it works.
That sounds interesting, because if each of the our communities, like you're saying, can establish a wakaf fund, we would not be sitting with poor people in the area. We would not be sitting with homeless people, for example.
Absolutely.
So also, Zainal, you mentioned that if you receive the money, the community decides on which programs or projects it goes to. So who would then end up deciding that this is the correct program or this is the right project maybe?
Generally, the community can decide, but they could decide in conjunction with organizations or with leaders of the community, the imams. But essentially, there'd be like members of the community or the mosque committee or there could be a special committee that is kind of appointed from amongst the community that can help direct it. For example, they may say, well, look, there's a need to have youth programs in this area.
Okay.
So and then there could be kind of cooperation between different mosques. You know, actually in Singapore,
mm-hmm.
what they do is that some of the mosques there have like a special role. Like, for example, there's one mosque that will only focus on youth programs.
Okay.
Okay. So if you want a good youth program, you're going to go there. if you want a good Hafiz program, like, you know, people who are becoming Hafiz, then there's a mosque there that focuses on that.
Okay.
Then there's a mosque they call that the Harmony Center. So members of the public, you know, if anybody wants to know more about Islam and creating harmony within the community and different religions and, you know, dawah and all that, then they would go to that mosque.
Mm.
So, you know, they have that kind of, because they're so well organized, okay? Now, we tend to, you know, duplicate a lot of our things, so we don't build up expertise in
right
one so. Particular field.
That's right.
But that may be a good thing as well, but on the other hand, it does disadvantage us in some ways.
Mm.
So you know, ultimately, we should be having the expertise within the community or the broader community who can advise on, say, youth affairs, on women's affairs, on women's needs or the elderly needs or, you know, educational needs. It can be planned accordingly. But ultimately, it depends on the community on the ground as to what exactly their needs are, because communities may differ from one to the
one
other.
One area to the next. Okay.
Yeah.
Zainul, let's take an ad break. And when we come back, let's focus now on the family wakaf and how do we establish that, inshallah.
Okay.
My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, 91.3 FM and 95.8 FM stereo.
It's 1:43 on Voice of the Cape, and on this program, every single Thursday for the month of Ramadan, we will be speaking about wakafs and also how you can establish your own, whether you are a community or whether you are a family. At the end of the day, we want to make communities self-sustaining, and that's exactly what happened in the time of the Sahaba who established the wakafs there. And I believe Zainul Kaji, the CEO of Oka South Africa, helped me out. I believe Spain was the one country that was self-sufficient on almost everything because of a wakaf.
Absolutely. And of course, many other countries as well, up to maybe about 200 years ago, where colonization took over a lot of our wakafs, and that actually decimated the wakaf system.
Mm.
But generally, that is true. The wakaf system actually was sustaining to a large extent a lot of our social and economic institutions. So I just want to touch on this issue about the community wakaf in terms of the masjid as well,
okay,
where we have the system of the kuliya, the complex of services that are provided around the masjid as a place for learning, as a place for medical care. We know that also during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when there were when the volunteers that were wounded in wars, they were brought to the mosque for the place of care, place of education, place of meetings and deliberations. It was a court of justice where you know, marriages and divorces took place in the mosque. So the mosque actually played quite a big role. In the Ottoman Empire, you find that most of the mosques, which were self-sufficient, had this complex of soup kitchens, of medical centers, of libraries, all part of the mosque complex, the shopping center, so that the mosque really became the hub of the community. So whether it was for meetings, whether it was for education, for adult classes, for children's HIFS programs or whatever. So I think a lot of the many of the masajid do play that role, but I think we need to expand on the role that the masjid can play. But anyway, I hope inshallah we can discuss that in a bit more detail some other time.
Definitely.
But coming back to the family wakaf.
Yes.
Okay. So for example, any person during your lifetime wants to in fact, it's a very important kind of system that Islam has given us. On the one hand, we want to rely on leaving for our family after we pass away. So through our will and our estate and so forth, that we leave our property behind.
Mm-hmm.
That has its own kind of problems and issues around, what happens to the wife, what happens to some of the children that may be disadvantaged or things like that. So what has happened during the whole history of Islam is that people have made, during their lifetime, a waqf that can support their wives, their families, their children on a until such time either they pass away or it's left for the next generation.
Mm.
But what do? They can either use it to support the family or support indigent or disadvantaged within the family. There may be, for example, a widow. There may be somebody that doesn't have an income source. So generous people, generous family members would set aside something as a waqf for that person. It could even be for one individual. It doesn't have to be for your entire family. But you could decide, take one person in your family and say, right, I'd like to make a waqf for my late uncle's wife or something like that.
Okay.
So what would happen is that this waqf would be, again, you know, when you make a waqf, the ownership of that asset or that wealth is sort of moved away from yourself. So now it's actually in the waqf. So say, for example, you make a waqf of, let's take the example of the 10,000 rand again. So the 10,000 rand that I have now, I'm giving a portion of my wealth as a waqf for a family member or for my children. Hello?
I'm here.
Are we still there?
Mm.
Okay. And you can then specify for who that person is, who should that waqf support, and for how long. You can actually say that. You as a waqf donor can actually make any specification that you want, as part of your terms and conditions.
Okay.
So, for example, you want to make a waqf for your daughter until she gets married, or you want to make a waqf for these particular children of yours who are maybe disabled, or so that they may not have support in the future. So you're making provision for them now, so that they don't have a problem once you pass away and there's issues around the inheritance and so forth. Or a very common problem is about inheritance of the wife.
Mm.
So what happens is that because she is, according to Sharia, she is entitled to 1/8 of the estate to enable you to actually secure her. You'd rather set aside the waqf during your lifetime to secure her,
okay.
So not to wait until your death.
You did, okay.
So, the waqf is, the family waqf, the waqf ahli, is quite flexible in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's assume now the family wants to come together and, or maybe the cousins want to come together and they want to make a waqf for education, for example, for their
right.
children.
Right.
We did follow the same process as well?
Yes, absolutely. So it could be just one person doing it, or a group of family members could be putting it together, and they could be they could be a small kind of a constitution and terms and conditions, a waqfiya, as I explained earlier, that would actually govern how this waqf will work. So there could be 10, 20, 30 family members, and we do have that happening currently, where family members have got together, and they could be like third or second or fourth generation family members of a common set of ancestors, maybe two, three generations ago, and they come together and they say, you know what, we're going to set up a waqf together, and we're going to use this, the income for any family member that is destitute, and that they appoint among themselves a committee that will decide what would happen and who's going to be benefiting from it, and for how many generations and so forth.
Okay.
So that's something that we should be implementing as well, because this is all about reviving the whole wakaf system.
Mm. Something that you mentioned last week, Zainul, was that wakaf doesn't only have to be made cash. Now, what happens if a family members have plots, or they've got, maybe some structure that's been set up or whatever, and they want to donate that wakaf to the family? Is that possible? To the family trust, I mean?
100%. They could actually make a wakaf of cash. They could make wakaf of, if they've got share investments, they could make wakaf of that. They could make wakaf of a property, a hard asset.
Mm.
They could even make wakaf of jewelry. Some people have in their possession jewelry, and there's been examples in Islamic history where a person made a wakaf of her jewelry, and she said that this jewelry must be used when there are poor brides that get married. They can borrow the jewelry for their wedding, and then they can return the jewelry after the wedding.
Oh, how is amazing. That? Beautiful, mashallah. Wow, that's stunning.
So you could make a wakaf of, often what happens is that even your wedding dresses, after the wedding, what happens to it? So this person makes the wedding dress into a wakaf and can be borrowed by anybody that's going to get married. They can borrow it.
Right.
So now it's no longer her property. It belongs to, it's in the public space now. So anybody in the public can come and borrow it if it fits them, of course.
Okay,
so,
brilliant.
You could make a wakaf of cash, shares, jewelry, of any possession of yours,
right.
A property. Some people may have some gold coins that they've been hoarding for several years, and they may say, "Well, I want to make this into a wakaf."
Right. So now also, when we're combining the two, when we combine the family and the charitable wakaf, that I'm assuming is that the, let's assume we want to use education for an example, the wakaf was set up for education, it then means that bursaries can be allocated to the family members and to the public if they apply.
Correct.
Okay.
They would stipulate that a certain percentage of the income should go towards public purposes. So for public applicants, for example, maybe let's say 80% of the income should go to our family members and 20% can go to the public.
Mm.
And who will decide who the public is? They would then have to set up a committee, or they could actually make that 20% grant to, let's say, the community organization that deals with this particular, with the scholarships and so forth. And they can then be the body that does the allocation.
Mm. Like the VSC Bursary Fund, which we have every year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So you rather look for somebody that specializes in it. So in that way, we also build up the skills in the community that become specialists in certain areas as well.
Okay. Zainul, we've got 3 minutes left. I want to just discuss very quickly in terms of a payment. Some people would have the impression that it would be a once-off. The family now needs to give 10,000 rand, and that's it. That establishes the wakaf. What are the payment methods into the wakaf?
People can do a monthly debit order. People can make a lump sum payment. People could make occasional payments if it's cash. As and when they want to. There is no compulsion in it. It is purely voluntary. It's purely from the goodness of our hearts. So they can choose any particular way. They can choose, like I said, an initial cash amount, and they can add that weekly, monthly, every year. So and that can continue. The best is by a debit order, which makes it very regular. And they know that they've got a budget for it, so that makes it very easy.
Okay.
So, but it's also very flexible, and it, and also in terms of your own affordability.
Sure.
But even if you, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said that you can even give charity if even if you have one date. If you don't have any other possessions, give one date. So it's not the quantity that matters. It's really the quality and the intention of the person that matters.
Zainul Kaji, Okoff CEO, Okoff South Africa CEO, shukran so much for your time this afternoon with us. And next week we do the same thing again on Thursday after the word, inshallah.
Before we depart, I must say, well, first of all, shukran to you as well. And I must call all the listeners to attend or to join the Okoff SA pledge line on Saturday, the 27th of June, that's this coming Saturday, on ITV.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually pledge for the Masjid renovation project that night as well.
Wonderful.
We'll be actually launching a special Waqf fund for Masjid renovations now, inshallah.
Mm.
And apart from this, the 21 Masjids that are being done, there'll be now a special Waqf fund, because we've also found that there are many other masjids around the country that are some of the masjids are in shacks and in containers and zinc structures. So let's hope that we can actually this Voice of the Cape initiative has
grown
into something that will become a national project, inshallah.
I mean. Shukran so much, Zainul Kaji. Really appreciate it. We'll discuss more off-air as well, inshallah, and definitely promote Okoff SA's pledge line on ITV Saturday, 7:30, you said, Zainul?
10:30 at night.
10:30.
After the Makkah Taraweeh.
Until then. Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Zainul. We'll chat again, inshallah.
Okay.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Unfortunately, we've got to end it there. It's 2 o'clock news very soon. Please do donate to the Masjid Waqf Project. All details available at our reception on 021-442-3500. From myself, Mishka Daris, and the team, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.